This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome, Carm Capriotto, the Service Aftermarket's podcast pioneer. Join me each week for aftermarket insights from my guest host. Catch up on our weekly content, and as always, know that you will learn just one thing. The video of the show is on the Aftermarket Weekly page on remarkableresults.biz or on my YouTube channel. It's a great show today. I have an incredible guest on. Two incredible guests. One of them is Mitch Schneider. Welcome, Mitch. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. It's always good to be with you.
Truly, it is. You know, when I reach out to Mitch, it always takes like 2 or 3 months to schedule. This is a busy guy. He does so many great things for our industry, and including having written this incredible book. And Mitch, I still hope this thing is still selling.
It is.
Because it is a book, as I've said in the past, Mitch and I have done 9 episodes together. And as I always talk about it in every episode, this is a must read for anyone. I don't care how successful or how struggling you are. This is a must read book for everyone in the industry.
All 5-star reviews.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Those were 5-star reviews. John Constantine is also with us from Bison Fleet Services and Automotive in Buffalo. Hello, John.
Hi, Carm. Hi, Mitch. How are you?
We're great. How are you doing?
Pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to be met.
Yeah. So let's show a picture of John's place that we're going to take a look at. I mean, we're talking big stuff here. I was out last week at John's place. I actually did the filming because John was so damn busy. He had a COVID rash. So I actually did the video. John's going to narrate it. You're going to see. Remember when you were a kid and you played with those little Tonka toys? I mean, that's what you're going to see inside this building. Big stuff, big stuff. We're coming to you live from the Dorman OE Fix studio. And as someone said to me the other day, it's your man cave. And I don't know about you, Mitch, or John, but you can't say that word today. You can't say man cave. You can't say woman cave. I guess you could say she shed. But can you say he shed?
Nope.
You can't.
No comment.
Yeah, I know that. And so, you know what I decided? I'm going to call it my Carm Cave.
There you go.
Clever.
I was trying to figure something out. It's my Carm Cave. All right. Hey, guys. John, specifically you, since you're still, you still got a going business and Mitch's doesn't at this current moment. Maybe he does have something I don't know about. But how's business, John?
Good. We're very, very busy. I'm looking for 2 more techs and another service advisor.
Everybody's.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking.
Yeah. And just not hiring anybody. I'm very particular. I'm not hiring just to fill spaces or get bodies. So I'll work whatever hours I have to get the job done.
I think that's the absolute right answer. Let's not, you know, don't pull the trigger quick, especially on a hire that either can make or break your culture and your entire business. So, hey, guys, thanks to our partner, Dorman. I want to show you a cool, neat new product from Dorman. Hey, we all know that fixing cars is different than how the OE builds them. Now, take fuel lines, for instance. Fuel lines run and rust along with the chassis of the vehicle by nature. Now, especially in the colder months, trucks can be exposed to snow, salt, or rain, causing failure due to the corroded fittings, deterioration in the line. Now, to help you in your wallet, Dorman Products team of engineers have redesigned the typical fuel line. Introducing Dorman's flexible stainless steel braided fuel lines. Made from braided stainless steel over flexible PTFE tubing, this upgraded material features a corrosion-resistant design. Each fuel line is an exact fit with the dimensions of each application. Now, improved durability is the highlight of this new design. This innovation is a Dorman OE fix, which means it's something that the original manufacturer doesn't offer. These fuel lines are quality assured and backed by their team of product experts and more than a century of automotive experience. Hey, want to learn more about Dorman's innovations? Visit DormanProducts.com/tour. Thank you, Dorman. As I said earlier, Mitch and I have done 9 episodes together, and if you'd love to find out which ones they are, go to my website, find any search bar, type in Mitch Schneider. Oh, I spelled that wrong, Mitch. I'm sorry. How did I do that? S-C-H-N-E-I-D-R. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Man. You know, I've actually been doing some really bad keystroke stuff lately. It's been terrible. I got to slow down. That's what I got to do. And John has been with me also. So type in John Constantine and you'll find it. Hey, Mitch, I'm ready to hear what you brought to us. Excited about it, actually. I won't even set it up because you're so good at it. I'll let you do it, man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I think a lot about a lot of things. And one of the things I think about is getting from where you are as a shop owner to where you need to be. The industry, as we know, has not elevated itself to the position that we should expect it to have achieved at this point. And one of the things that I came across that fascinated me was this idea of the four stages of knowledge and the implications that this has on all of us. And let's go over that first, and then I'll talk about how this all plays together to impact your world. The first is ignorance, really. It's unconscious incompetence. You don't know what you don't know. That doesn't mean that you're not functional. That doesn't mean that you're not going into work every day and getting things done, but you just have no awareness of whatever else is out there. And that plays an important role later on when we talk about community. And I don't want to forget to do that. So hold me accountable, Carm. The second stage of knowledge is you know what you don't know. You become aware of what you don't know. And you can say that that's the beginning of wisdom, conscious incompetence. The third is my personal favorite. You don't know what you know. You know about it, but you have to think about it, perhaps, or you just do it unconsciously. It's an intrinsic part of your memory. You've seen things, you've watched things, you've been exposed to things, and all of a sudden you find yourself performing in an area that you really don't have the expertise, theoretically, to perform in, and you're successful, which is great. And the fourth stage of knowledge is you know what you know, confidence. And the problem that most of us have is that we don't think about this. We don't think about these four stages of knowledge, and we don't think about where we are. And that can be problematical. What I did discover when I was going through this, and I spent a lot of time thinking about this when I wrote Misfire, going back and looking over shop owners that I've interacted with over the past number of years, 52-year career, thinking about where I was in this mix, and then thinking about where other shop owners that I've met have been. And it occurred to me all of a sudden in a flash that there's a fifth stage of knowledge. And the fifth stage of knowledge is perhaps the most dangerous of all. And that's you don't know what you don't want to know what you don't know. You're actively resisting. You're actively resisting exposure to anything new and different. They call it confirmation bias, right? You don't want to be exposed to something that's going to shake your world. You certainly don't want to be confronted with any kind of information that's going to challenge whatever it is that you're doing. Because that means that takes you to the bottom of the slide. And that's personal responsibility, right? Start the sentence with I. What are you going to do about it? Okay, you know this now. Okay, you've been exposed to this now. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit back and do nothing? Which tragically is what so many shop owners actually choose to do. And that led me to something else that we really haven't discussed yet. And that is my belief in the AIDA model, A-I-D-A, awareness, interest, desire, action. That's a pretty well established foundational element of advertising and marketing, right? You've got to have awareness, you've got to have interest, you're going to go ahead and build desire, and then you're going to have action. Well, there's something that I'm never able to leave anything alone. I'm a tinkerer by trade. I became a mechanic because I love to make things better somehow. And it occurred to me that you couldn't become aware of something that you weren't exposed to. So you need exposure thrown in there somewhere. And there's something that bubbled to the surface that just really, I have a friend of mine that likes to say, spun my beanie, right? You know, that little propeller at the top of your
head. I so love that. Yes.
You know, that it really spun my beanie. And that was the critically important role that community plays in the professional life of anyone who's serious about their trade. All right? You can't be exposed. You can't become aware. You can't develop an interest. You won't have any desire. And you're not going to be prompted to act unless you're first aware of what's going on around you. And that's one of the important roles that associations play, because if somebody can drag you to a meeting and all of a sudden you're confronted with people who have proven that what you believe with a perfect faith is possible because they've already done it, then you've been exposed and you're aware
Yeah, you're not going to get me to go to that meeting, Mitch. You're not going to get me to go to that 20 group. You're not going to get me to go to that networking group because I don't want to know what I don't know.
That's it. Those things interact so closely and they're so important to realize. Back in the day, I have a very good friend who's got a transmission shop up in Santa Barbara, or had one up there, and he was a good friend of Terry Greenhut. And he used to pay other transmission shop owners, he used to pay for their tuition to a Greenhut seminar. And he would say, if you don't get anything out of it, if it doesn't make you more money, don't pay me back, which I thought was such a brilliant idea. And I think one of the things that we have to be aware of as an industry is the fact that associational membership throughout the industry, almost all associations, are dwindling. I think that's a fair word. And I think we all need to redesign the role of what our associations should be, and recognizing the important role that this idea of exposure and awareness plays. Because the importance of an association is that once you're exposed and once you're in the meeting and once you say, I didn't know that, somebody's going to walk up to you and say, well, sure, let me see if I can help you. And there's a certain camaraderie that develops, a certain amount of shared responsibility. And that's what makes for progress. That's what makes for growth.
You know, this is such an appropriate topic for this particular time of the year, because the industry is waking up again. We're starting to get out. We're, you know, here's my ASTE shirt. That's next weekend. I'll be there. And they'll probably have 600 plus shops, all kinds of training, all kinds of vendor shows, face-to-face meets. You'll learn as much networking as you will in a class. And so why would you want to go? To learn the things that you aren't sure of, that you don't know about, always pushing your envelope to the next level, which is that it's perfect to talk about this. APEX is coming up. ATE is going on. The RW conference was everybody's doing stuff and getting back in the groove post-COVID. It's perfect. Thank you for bringing this topic.
I think the tragedy isn't on a monumental scale, that it isn't on a so much larger scale, that there aren't so many more people that are involved in it. And we've got to figure out what we have to do to drag the rest of the industry along with us. Because, I mean, nobody started out, I don't know of any shop owner that started out with a successful shop. The road to my success was paved with lots of broken bones. And, you know, I sacrificed regularly to the altar of the Lady of Auto Repair. I mean,
a lot of expensive lessons.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know a group of people that are more giving and willing to share than shop owners who have been through that gauntlet.
Yes. 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 Oh, by the way, I'm starting out a new series, a podcast, just maybe once a month, twice a month, called Advancing the Aftermarket. And the one I produced yesterday and put out was about our industry is one to be rivaled. And one of my comments, Mitch, was exactly that. We're willing to pay it forward. I love your idea of, you know, every shop owner who's ever come on my show, anybody who's ever been on a panel, did it because I asked them to share their sage advice, their wisdom, their school of hard knocks. No one's perfect. There's superstars that have come on my show, but they will be the first one to tell you they're not superstars. They're just toughing it along the way and learning and making things better and improving. And then every once in a while, someone says, hey, would you share that?
It's Kaizen. It's continuous improvement.
And they become influencers. And so I love your thing about paying it forward. You know, John, let's go down to somebody here in Buffalo and say, I'm going here, let me pay for this for you. And if you didn't get anything from it, then you don't need to pay me. If you enjoyed it, I will invest in you. And all of a sudden, I mean, it's almost like, I don't know, maybe one out of 200 may come back just because they're ready to go out of business and they shouldn't. You know, there's some people in certain stages of apathy in our industry. I wouldn't invest in them because they're ready to go out.
I think that's true, but I think that we have a responsibility, having traveled that path, to see who we can help avoid all the pitfalls and all of the rocky roads I tell everybody all the time, it's easy to walk on water if you know where the rocks are. I mean, it's not a big problem.
Exactly right. And I didn't mean to sound terminal there about a minute ago, but we all know people that are bright and brilliant, and they're struggling with a few things that can use a push. That's your point.
As long as they're not in stage five.
Yeah.
As long as they're actively resisting the change necessary. To me, it's always a matter of personal responsibility. I mean, everybody in this industry seems to, and I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, you can take me to school, but everybody in this industry seems to be waiting for somebody to ride up on a big white horse, you know, like the Lone Ranger in the old days, and, you know, fire a gun in the air and then come to save them. Well, that's great. And if you're lucky, maybe that'll happen, but it's going to start with you. You've got to become the change that you're looking for, and you've got to be willing to make the hard decisions that are uncomfortable and are going to make you unpopular. And I really love what John said at the beginning of the show about he needs two technicians. He needs another service consultant, an advocate, customer advocate that he wants to put to work, but he's not going to hire just anybody. He's going to take his time. He's going to try and make sure that whoever he finds is going to fit into the fabric of his business and is going to contribute and is going to want to contribute, right? He wants to be part of something bigger than himself. I mean, everybody wants that. That's what a team is, right? Everybody wants to go ahead and achieve something bigger than themselves and be made to feel like their contribution is important, is worthy.
Absolutely.
So we need to do that. I mean, we need to do that as an industry.
And you know what? Every time Mitch comes on and we say, hey, let's talk about for 8 or 9 minutes, and he brings these very heavy subjects, this could go on for a long time, Mitch. You know, as I have learned over the years to appreciate your wisdom and have read hundreds, if not thousands, of your articles over the past, say, 35 or 40 years. And now hearing, you know, you come on the show and all the other stuff that you're doing, writing the book Misfire, your wisdom continues to be leaps ahead of everything going on in the industry. So you're right. Be inspired by what Mitch has just spoken to you. But if you're on this particular broadcast, if you're listening, there's a few things that I know. You most likely don't need this. And if you find a friend or a peer that could use it, forward this, recommend this, take the URL, send it to your friend, and just maybe, the podcast or this episode may be the same thing as sending someone on a plane or, you know, onto another webinar, and they could just listening. As I've always said, the podcast is kind of like personal networking because we've covered out of the 1,000 episodes or more so many different topics, including this very powerful one from you, Mitch. Thank you. This was great. Yeah, thank you very much. Hey, we've got a whole bunch of great stuff that happened this week. So if you want to play some catch up today, Apprentice Journeys came out, high school students to an apprentice program. Dynamic has a fantastic program down there in the Frederick, Maryland area. 5-store chain. Dwayne Myers is one of the partners there. We interviewed his mentor and apprentice. You'll love that, especially if you're driving toward that. Social Media 101, which was last Friday. Christina Modesti, excellent stuff to motivate you to take a serious look inside your social media strategy. And the advancing the aftermarket, as I was just telling Mitch, you know, we're industry to be revival. It's 4 minutes long and it's just me. And you're going to hear me doing this advancing the aftermarket stuff occasionally as I've written so many articles and I'm actually getting ready to voice a lot of them that I've written in the past, Mitch, that I think are apropos to the moment in time that we live in right now. So check out those Advancing the Aftermarket. I think you'll like this one. And then I think one of the best ones that we've done as far as the topic, I want $1 million for my business. And we covered this thing from A to Z, not everything you absolutely need to know, but within like about 50 minutes, Hunt Demarest, who's a CPA, of course, Brian Bates and Joe Hansen, shop owners, multi-shop owners, talked about both the buyer and the seller and the strategy behind it all. And I got to tell you, if you're ready to sell or you're ready to buy, get a yellow pad out and listen to that Town Hall Academy episode 240. I believe right now, let me just find out where I am in my script since I was a little waylaid going on. We're getting ready to do the shop tour. Okay, everybody. Hey, John, you're in the pole position here, my friend. And okay. John, by the way, just to let you know, John hasn't seen this video, but he was with me when I took it. So, John, here we go. Here we go. Beautiful place, by the way. Just gorgeous.
Thank you. So that's a shot of the outside of two of the buildings that are on my property. We do operate out of three. That's Russell on the floor. This is the customer service area where we write up customers, answer the phone. It's the waiting area with a fish tank. We have coffee set up, beverage, water, and a bathroom with a hook on the back of the door, if you believe that one.
It's important.
Ladies don't have to set their items on the floor.
Russell looks comfortable.
Thank you. Yeah, this is where a lot of the action happens. Yeah, we've got two advisors up front, two that sit in the back half. I call the advisors sitting up front the gatekeepers. They answer the phones, do minor work orders and scheduling, and the other two advisors in the back area are shielded from answering the phones and also talking to customers unless they absolutely have to, so that they can focus on the repair orders. Those were additional offices and the downstairs lunch area. That's where we hang our work orders for parts that are waiting to come in. Hallway leading down to the bathroom, parts room, and main shop. That's the guy's bathroom. And it could be a woman's bathroom, too. I'm looking for a woman tech, but can't seem to find one. Right there, this is our library section. We have a desktop set up and manuals for different pieces of equipment that we worked on. We had two shelves set up there with all of our diagnostic equipment and laptops. Those are parts in and parts return shelves. The left are parts in. When parts come in, we label those with a yellow label with the RO number on there and where we got it from. And the shelf on the right are for returns and cores. And we label the returns with pink stickers. And then the cores are yellow stickers. And then walking into the main shop is almost 12,000 square feet, 35-foot ceilings. And I have a total of 15 lifts out of the 17 that are in this shop. Where the yellow bus was, that's a four-post lift, 40,000 pound, 31 feet long. This is a vehicle that we're doing some turbo work on. And, of course, one of my guys dragging a jack around. That ladder there we use to get up on top of the vehicles to change lights and on top of RVs so that we don't have to use ladders and having the opportunity of possibly falling on the ground. There is a coach on the right-hand side. We see there's a total on this vehicle. There's a total of eight of my column posts that go on this vehicle for each axle, and we can raise those vehicles up to 7 feet in the air. Each column post has the capacity of 16,000 pounds. Those I can move to any location in the shop. These are four units that are being used on a bus at this point. But what's good about the column posts is I can move them anywhere in the shop, and I have heavy-duty jack stands to set the vehicles down if we need to get the column post over to a larger or another vehicle. And there's plenty of space. I'm almost 60 years old. I don't expect my guys to do anything that I won't do, but as we get older, we need to work, you know, smarter and wiser, and crawling around on the ground just doesn't work, and it's not very productive. Yeah, those are just some brake chambers that my guy had to remove from this vehicle that are no longer needed. And what you see ahead is something that's actually in the process. That's where we keep all of our bulk oils and materials. We're in the process right now of building a rack to house six 55-gallon drums so that we can condense all of those barrels into one area to make it cleaner and safer. What you have a picture there in front of us are 12 lifts. You can't tell from the video so much, but the lifts in the front are shorter and lighter than the lifts in the back. The lifts are 18 feet high. And what I do here is we work with 14 different fleet management companies, and I have those 12 lifts stacked where I know the fleet company gives us grief, where the approval's not going to be immediate. Those vehicles go on the back row of lifts, and because they're so high, we can raise them up in the air and then bring vehicles in and out without having to put vehicles back together, saving on efficiency and productivity to get the vehicles in and out on the front lifts. You know, the floors aren't spotless, but we try to keep it organized. We sweep it, when it needs to be swept, but we certainly don't have stuff laying all over causing hazards without question. That there is where we keep our waste oil, which was towards that garage door. We have our tire machine, the balancer. That's a waste oil tank and supplies. And we actually have, when I built the building, I piped in lines from the new building to one of our older buildings where we have that waste oil siphoned out into the other shop. And the air is also piped in with the compressor from the other building into this shop to all of the lifts as well. And none of the air is overhead. Everything is underground. Now we're going upstairs where we have additional offices. This here is all of the technicians and guys waiting area. That was Russell's tail. That's where the guys have their lunch. That's their kitchenette area with lockers. And a lot of the guys really don't sit up there. They'd rather sit down in the shop, but it's there for them. We have a TV up there as well. That's my office. Yeah, I've got papers on the floor, papers on my desk, additional office, but it is organized for me. Now we're walking into the training area. As a condition for employment, I require 40 hours of training a year from all of my technicians. If they don't meet that requirement by the end of the year, they have 2 weeks to complete it. If they don't, they no longer work here. Bison should not bear all of the burden for knowledge. I pay for all of the training. There's Carm's old poster I have on the board there.
You're so kind.
Yeah. We also sponsor ATG training throughout the year. We put on three different trainings a year. And typically 26 to 30 people from other shops come in to attend those trainings, as well as my technicians as needed. This is the bathroom, double doored. So when there's training going on, I can lock the door into the employees' locker area. And I try to keep it clean.
And here's the Feast de la Résistance. Look at this, everyone.
Yeah, I was a power lifter for a lot of years. I've been powerlifting since 1976. My last competition was 10 years ago. I still lift periodically, but this is some equipment that I've accumulated over the years, and this is available.
Can I apply?
Yeah, it's available free for everyone here, Mitch, to use it. And we have elliptical, we have a treadmill, we have a bike. You know, if that's what you're into, we have free weights. And we also have some machines where we don't have to move around all of the weight. So it's a perk, and, we take advantage of it, most of the people that are here.
I love that. When I saw that exercise room at John's place, I think it was about, maybe a year ago, John, I was just blown away. Actually, I wrote a blog about it that I was so moved by it. And so why not have a little exercise room, right? Why not?
I'd be at work every day early, an hour early every day.
You can join me because that's what I do every morning. Every morning before I start.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, that was a great tour, John. Obviously, so many that watch the show do not see often enough the kinds of vehicles you have inside, the big stuff.
Can I say something quickly? I just ask one quick question.
Sure, Mitch. Yeah.
John, did you start out that big?
No, I started off on the east side of Buffalo, working off the ground inside of an old bakery. Got held up twice. Second time was by a gun. At that point, I decided to get out of the business. That was in 1992. In 1995, I got back into the business. And then 1997, I purchased the business that I worked for. And we've had lots of challenges, just like you had mentioned earlier. We don't know it all. I'm just going to leave it at that. You said a lot that I could relate to when you started with your pyramid. Your book has been recommended to me by several people and the group that I belong to. Now that I have the proper spelling and the right name, because everybody says it so fast. So I have it. I'm going to make sure that I go right into that this week and start that book. But yeah, we all have challenges that we need to overcome, and we don't know it all. And I don't want to know it all. And if you think you know it all, you're not going to be here working with me, because you don't. It's all about people. And as you mentioned earlier, you're always looking to improve and make yourself better and get better at what you do, because at the end of the day, it's all for the customer. And if they're not satisfied with the work that you can provide and knowledge that you can give them for their vehicles, you should go do something else.
Let me know how you like the book.
Yeah, I will, Mitch. Thank you.
This was great. Mitch, off the charts again. Great, great wise words of wisdom in our earlier segment. John, thank you so much for the tour. I was really excited to have John agree to do this, because I wanted to really show the bigger stuff and what's to come. There's a lot of people out there that do fleets. John, maybe not as big as you, but they maybe do, you know, the small car fleets or small van fleets. And who knows where it could grow to. And that's why I wanted to show your facility. Listen, if you missed this, you could watch it on Facebook, you could watch it on YouTube, you could watch it on LinkedIn, you could watch it when we reproduce this coming Saturday, right, on my website. You can listen to the podcast, this version as a podcast, on your favorite podcast player. So, great show, guys. Thank you so much. Next week, we're going to have Michael Galini from Your Auto Shop in Plano, Texas, and Christy Hudson's going to show us her place in Troy, Michigan. It was great, guys. Always, always appreciate Mitch, good friend. John, great friend. It's always great to have the friends on the show, huh? Wow.
Right.
Cool. All right, my friend. Thank you. Thank you, guys.